If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
Jesus said, find out how the kingdom works, okay? Now, I guarantee you, when you came to Christ, you were so relieved that you were not going to hell that you didn't investigate how the kingdom worked. The greatest deficit in the Pentecostal church is the inability to clearly hear and identify the voice of God. Two-thirds of the people who say they hear from God are hearing from themselves because the things that they hear are contrary to the word of God. Do you know why God gave you his word and watched over it down all these generations? Because he knew that there would be such a discrepancy in hearing his voice. He said, let me give you my word, and my word does not change. All of a sudden, there's a great push for the office of apostle. Well, he just wants me to walk in it. For what? And most of the people moving into it are already pastors. Person said to me, he said, you're an apostle. I said, no, I'm a pastor. He said, well, God's moving you into the next realm. Wait, let me see if I got this right. God said, find a building, start a church, and I'm going to make you the pastor of that church. But after so many years, I'm going to move you to be an apostle. So you're going to leave the church to be an apostle. For what? It's almost like what the people are suggesting, that the office of pastor is not good enough. I got to be an apostle. How many fathers do I have in here? You have sired children. How old is one of yours? 42. Who else? How old is one of yours? 25. Anybody got one under 10? 7. Okay. Now, when yours becomes any of the other ages, are you going to be less of a father? Are you more of a father now that they're that old than you were when they were 12? You still dad. Why do I have to become an apostle? How you gonna relate to me? When I first was ordained as a bishop, many of you didn't know how to relate to me. Do I call you bishop? Do I call you pastor? What do I call you? So I had to come up here and relieve you of that strain. I am your pastor. I'm the bishop of an organization. But I am your pastor, and you bet not call me bishop. That would be like my daughter coming to the house saying, Eric. After, no, you're my daughter, I'm your dad. Now, granted, I don't get daddy anymore, because she's older now, but I still get dad. The point that I'm making is that when you understand the times in Western culture, we have become driven by titles. And while titles are important, they're not as necessary as people want them to be. So now there's this whole movement. At first there was a movement to the bishopric, and then everybody became a bishop. And now we move now to the apostolic, and everybody's becoming an apostle. And then we had this little interjection of the prophetic, and everybody wanted to be a prophet. And God wasn't talking to these people. Say, how do you know? That's an unfair assessment. Really, let me put it to you like this. Timothy said to Paul, he said, I got a bunch of people who want to be overseers. The King James, unfortunately, translates the word bishop, but it's overseer. And he says, they want to be overseers. What criteria should I use to establish them into this office? He said, well, if a person desires the office of bishop or overseer, they desire a good work. He said, here's what you do. He does not tell them to question their theology or to look at the way they preach. He doesn't tell them to evaluate their charismatic abilities. He said, look at how they treat their families. He said, that person who steps into that office must be the husband of one wife. He must be able to manage his finances. He must be able to rule over his children. For if he cannot run his own home, how's he going to take care of the house of God? We let anybody take offices whose lives don't match up to the calling. And so here's what God says. God says, since we, the body, are incapable of exposing and dealing with the deficiencies in the office, he said, I'm going to do it. So he started pulling covers off. And you started seeing people, the secret lives being made public. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. When I read that stuff and I heard about those things, it didn't shatter my faith at all. I was not moved. Well, so-and-so was caught with so-and-so. Okay, that's between them and God. Pastor, you mean to tell me you weren't discouraged? Heck no, because these people are not the object of my faith. Since not one of them died for me, I'm not upset if they mess up because my faith is not in them. My faith is in the God who saved me, the Lord who died for me, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. If I mess up, pray me through. If you can't pray me through, walk away. But don't leave Jesus because I'm acting like a parkade. Stay with Jesus. How does it work? How's the kingdom work? Jesus says, seek first. Okay, here's where we're going. We've been talking about faith for over 2 months. Now let's apply it to our lives, okay? And the first thing that God says, you've been here long enough, it's time to move. You've been broke long enough. Amen. And I tried to explain to you the difference between poverty and debt. Poverty is a mindset. When you're born into the mindset of poverty, you wear it like a badge of honor. Well, I'm from North Philly. I'm from the hood. I'm down. No, you broke. And you enjoy it. You enjoy paying a credit card company 24% for a $100 item. You enjoy it. Yes, you do. No, I don't, Pastor. There just ain't no other way. So let me see if I got this right. Men and women of Issachar, let me see if I got this right. Almighty God, who sent an abundance of quail to his children when they wanted meat, said to Moses, when Moses challenged that philosophy, Moses said, I've got 2.5 million people here, approximately. And he said, if we killed every animal that we have, it would not be enough to feed all these people. And God says, when did I become weak? Are you telling me that the God of heaven and earth, whom Psalm tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof belongs to him, who Chronicles tells us that everything belongs to God and all things we give back to him are his anyway, are you telling me that the God who lines the street of New Jerusalem with gold is so broke that he wants us to be in perpetual debt? Now, what father in here? Now, I ain't gonna deal with the mamas because I know the mamas, y'all protect your children too. So I ain't bothering you. I love you. God bless you. My class that I'm doing now, one of the subjects talks about gender violence and how men, just think that they have the right to beat up on women. So I put in there, not in my culture. I said, now maybe for some of you in certain cultures, I said, but all y'all need to come to my culture. I said, they ain't sitting around getting beat. I said, they come to church with razors. Just hold him. I cut. But fathers. You have $50,000 at your disposal, and your child comes to you and says, I really need to get a coat for the winter. Which one of you would not buy your child a coat? That's what Jesus was alluding to when he said, what father, if your child asks for bread, would give him a stone? And if they asked for fish, you'd give him a serpent. He said, which one of you would be so low as to not meet the need of your child? He said, all right then, if you are habitually and intrinsically evil, he said, then how much more will God, who is good, bless his children that believe he can do it? All right, listen carefully. We were not taught that God loved us. We were taught to be afraid of God. And even in church, God's going to kill you. God's going to kill you. He's going to kill you. If you don't do something, he's going to kill you. He's going to cut your leg off. If you sin, and then here's what we would do in Pentecost. If something bad happened in your life, what were you doing? What were you doing? You did something. You had to have done something wrong. That's why everything's going wrong in your life, because you have had to have done something wrong. Based on that theology, Paul was a rotten sinner. When you read his resume of pain in 2 Corinthians, how he was shipwrecked and beaten with rods, thrown in prison on a regular basis, that's not something that would be put on TBN. People would avoid that type of life because they're not living up to the standard of the world. We actually have convinced ourselves that trials and tests and troubles that we experience are the result of bad behavior. But when you understand God, you will realize that God does not deal with your bad behavior that way. That's not God. That's consequences. God did not kill Adam. Adam killed himself. For the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. He did not have to do it. But watch this. You say, well, see, God punished him by kicking him out the garden. You miss God. Because God knew he was going to do it. He had already prepared Jesus. Lord, help me. Do you know what Jesus is? The other day, I put a fire extinguisher on the wall in my garage. Yes, I did. And when I put that fire extinguisher up on the wall, here's what I was saying. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure there is no fire. But if there is, there's something to put it out. God said, I'm going to do everything in my power to keep people in my will. I'm going to put them in a perfect garden. I'm going to give him an adequate helper. I'm going to give him my wisdom, my ability. I'm going to make him like me. I'm going to give him all types of fruits and vegetables, all manner of trees to eat from. And I'm going to tell him not to touch one. But just in case he messes up, I got a Savior already prepared. That's the heart of God. God isn't standing around looking to beat you down. God is looking to pull you up. He's looking to say to you, you don't have to live down there anymore. Get up!
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1318A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.